You were on mute.
Oh, you probably will prefer that, actually. So this next portion is taking the Word of God and putting it into our lives. But an important consideration has to be, that we understand that we're not bad people. Are we sinners? Yes, we are. Do we need God in our life? Yes, we do. But He has offered to be an intricate part of our lives. If I testify to you that I am a sinner, I hope you're not going to throw me out of your midst. 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, tells me not to exclude someone from our congregation, but rather to welcome them in, to work with them, to pray for them, to teach them. Because it says they may decide to become a part of us. So, if I'm going to note the unworthiness of someone else, what's the first thing I have to do? I have to recognize that I'm a sinner also. So, we're talking about the Book of Mormon, the value of it, the fact that we should never lose sight of the value of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. And we talked about the importance of that. The reference to the meeting that Brandon spoke of a while ago for the ministry back in Independence. One of the things that I have found means the most is if I come to you, Lee, as a person who has never been taught the Book of Mormon, what common point do I have with you? God, that's right. And where do we find the testimony of God? In the Bible, right. So if I come to you and say to you, Rhodes, if I show you that the Book of Mormon is testified of in the Bible, what are the chances that you're going to accept it? Pretty good. Because why? Because we all accept the Bible, don't we? Is it because we become great students? Because we're archaeologists and have found the proofs? No. But for some reason, the United States has always been, the majority of the population have been Christians. And we came here upon this nation, which is our inheritance, according to the Book of Mormon. We came here for the freedoms of religion, right? So, if this old country salesman walks up to you and he says, Lee, I got a deal for you. Right away, you're going to grab your wallet, right? Yeah, I'll run. Okay. But if I come up to you and I say, Lee, if I show you in a book that you trust, in a book that you believe in a book that you have confidence in, for whatever reason, that the Book of Mormon is foretold of, is prophesied of, what are the chances you're going to accept that? Much greater, isn't it? So, if I give you the clarity or the potential of a positive, we start off on a much better point, right? Okay. So, if I come to you and I tell you, that's the wrong one. What happened? I think, am I hitting the back one? Oh, no. If I come to you and I say the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever, who am I talking about? Everybody, aren't I? I'm not talking about just the Catholic Church. I'm not talking about just the Presbyterian Church. I'm not talking about just the Baptist Church. I'm talking about everyone. And you know, that's the beauty of the Book of Mormon. It teaches about the whole Word of God. With the Bible, it says, and we know from experience and from studies of others, that man compromised the Word of God. I had a thing which I thought was kind of interesting this past week. I've got on my tablet and on my computer and on the internet, I've got the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Do you know how many times atonement, atoning blood is spoken of in the New Testament? Now, this is Jesus Christ's word, right? The New Testament deals with Christ. How many times is the word atoning spoken of? Would you believe once? Do you think, since we read that a while ago, that Christ came to fulfill the eternal plan of God, and that plan stood on the atonement of Christ's payment of our sins, do you think that should have been brought up more times than just once? I would have thought so too. Now, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know that that's some of those plain and precious things that have been taken out of it. But when I searched the Bible and the Book of Mormon, it was 108 times that the words atone, atonement, and atoning came forth. Three times in the Book of Mormon, it speaks of atoning blood. And Christ made a big thing about the atoning blood. But it doesn't speak of it in the New Testament. Now, that doesn't mean that's a great sin. What it means is, or at least what I think it is, if I'm going to get the complete picture that God has felt necessary for me to live a righteous life and to come unto Him to live that life of eternal joy, I've got to have both of those books. Okay? So why do I believe that the Book of Mormon is foretold of in the Bible? Because I go to Ezekiel 37 and it tells me of two sticks. One stick of the house of Judah, one stick of the house of Joseph. And some people say, no, Bob, that means the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I say, no, it says Judah, which is the Old Testament. But what part of the New Testament speaks of Joseph? None. It speaks of Jesus Christ. What does the Book of Mormon teach? The house of Joseph. If I go to Isaiah, the 8th chapter and the 28th chapter, I deal with the Book of Mormon, the book that came out of the ground, the voice that came out of the ground. I find to the law and to the testimony. What is the Bible? It is the law. What is the Book of Mormon? It is the testimony. If I can show you in your book that you justify and that you embrace that it means something, haven't I performed a service? Well, in that book, it says the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. Does anything like that come forth from the Bible? Check it out. 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 10th verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man does not understand the Spirit of God. Does the natural man understand the value of administration? No. We don't even understand all of it ourselves. But we have faith in the power of our God. We have faith in the love of our God. We have faith in His promises that He has manifested. What happens, Ryan, right? Okay. What happens if you make your son a promise? and then you don't keep it. You have a child that's ready to rebel if you do it too often, isn't it? So if God says something and we don't take Him at His word, what are we going to do within time? We're going to rebel. And it's only reasonable that we would. But it says that God won't go back on His word. Now this is a tough one. What does it say in Hebrews? 7th chapter. It says, come even unto perfection. Lee, can you be perfect?
Nope.
How about you? Can you, Jenny?
Not on myself.
Absolutely. And that's the key. You brothers are right. All of us. We cannot be perfect. But if we have Jesus Christ by our side, if He is walking, like the poem says, and He is making the tracks in the sand, we can be perfect. Why? Because He has atoned, like we talked about in the Sunday school class. He has atoned. He's the only one that can atone for our sins. But there's something else here. Mosiah 1:19, 1 Corinthians 2:10. What's important about those two scriptures if you're trying to share them with somebody else? Have you ever heard of Joseph's Bible? They accused Joseph Smith of writing the Book of Mormon. So they call it Joseph's Bible. How could a 14-year-old have written this to coincide with this? It's not possible. How could Joseph have written the prophecies that are in the Book of Mormon? He couldn't have. He couldn't have. It's important, then, that we understand the Book of Mormon doesn't take the place of the Bible. It supports it. Remember when Martin Harris wanted to take some of the pages to home to show his wife, and Joseph had been told at the very get-go, do not let anyone have these pages. Now, Martin Harris later testified to the validity on his deathbed of the Book of Mormon. But what happened to the 119 pages, I think, or 120 pages? They're not included in the Book of Mormon. Why? Because man would have abused those 120 pages. They would have twisted those pages against us and used them against us. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, would not allow His law to be broken. Now, if you accept, Lee, the Bible, and it speaks the same as the Book of Mormon, doesn't that give it more validity? We shouldn't be ashamed of it. We should shout from the housetops. Remember when you were a kid and you got your first bicycle? You felt special, didn't you? Well, I had a deal when I was a kid. I was a farm kid, and my dad had a couple, 3 years where he was out of work. So all we had was the farm. And he really wasn't a full farmer at that point. He didn't have all the necessary equipment. I can give you a lot of reasons. Bottom line is he worked in the city. He was laid off. We weren't going to have much of a Christmas. That year, I wanted a trench coat. Think of it. Man, back in the 50s, when you could have a trench coat, you were cool because you could put up you were cool. This is just all there was to it. There was a gift under the tree and it had no name on it. My mother went to town, to Kansas City, so she was going to be gone until later on that evening. So I wanted to make sure that it was packed correctly, whatever was in there, and it wasn't going to break. You understand that, right? So I opened the gift up. It was a trench coat. Oh, my Christmas was made. But there was one problem. It was pretty big on me. But I thought, you know, well, she can take it back. Surely Mom just made a mistake in the size. I mean, it worked. It was a trench coat. It's what I wanted. I wrapped that dude back up. They never knew that that was... What are you laughing at? You probably did the same thing.
That's why I'm laughing.
You know who my mother gave that present to? My dad. He got my trench coat, right? But Christmas was still Christmas, even though I was disappointed. Because the true purpose of Christmas was always maintained in our house. It wasn't you that got the gift. You were the gift to God. And that's what was important to Mom and Dad. Even though I was tremendously disappointed, I could never, never dispute the value of Christmas. Because God speaks and is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and gave us the same instruction, we cannot deny the validity of God. Maybe I'm being impatient. Oh, there we go. Oh, remember, my sons, the word which King Benjamin spake unto his people. Yea, remember that there is no other way nor means whereby man can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. Yea, remember that he cometh to redeem the world. And remember also the words which Amulek spake unto Zizram in the city of Ammonihah. For he said unto him that the Lord surely should come to redeem his people, but that he should not come to redeem them in their sins, but to redeem them from their sins. Just like we talked about in Sunday school, John 3:16 doesn't give me that full picture. It may give you that picture, but it doesn't give me until I think of the 17th verse. And he hath power given unto him from the Father to redeem them from their sins because of repentance. Therefore he hath sent his angels to declare the tidings of the conditions of repentance, which bringeth unto the power of the Redeemer, unto the salvation of their souls. And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation, that when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts in the whirlwind. Can you think of a place in the Bible where the same counsel is given? The Gospels are full of it. You see, what's happening here, I took this a bit out of context, not context, but I took it out of a story. A father was sending his two sons, Nephi and Lehi, not the Nephi and the Lehi that we came to the first of the book, but in Helaman, his sons were named Nephi and Lehi. And they were being sent out to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did the father tell them to do? What did he tell them to do? I guess it'd have to be right here in the bottom portion. It says, "And now, my sons, remember that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer." My life has to be built. That's what the Book of Mormon is teaching us. To build upon a firm foundation. That when we have needs of our Heavenly Father for physical, mental, or spiritual illness, that we have the faith to go to Him. when we have separation of our families, for whatever justification, going to college, going off to work, being separated or being together, we will build upon that firm foundation. The Book of Mormon is simply a mechanism that God has given to fulfill His Word and to give you and I reason to believe that His Word is complete. Amos says, why? Why would God tell us anything unless He first tells His prophets? Because then we know when they prophesy and it comes true, we know that our God is not lying. And like we talked about in Sunday school, if God says it, I can count on it. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He promises, He promised me that He would be with me and walk with me. Jen had an experience sometime back. She was having problems with her heart. And she went to the hospital that morning. We took her to the hospital, and she was going to have a test, the treadmill test, right? Heart cath. I don't know. But they were there to help her. And obviously, we had been praying fervently that Jen would be protected. And so we went in there real early in the morning. It was like 6 or something like that. Went to a good place, a place that her father had been blessed many times. It was St. Luke's, right? Yeah. And we had all, the family had all agreed what marvelous care he had received. And Jenny went with a great commitment, knowing that this is a place to go if you're going to have heart problems. And so she went in there totally carefree. No problem, right? Tell them about how the lady checked you in. She doesn't want to. Because Jen told me as she walked out of the office, I think I'm going to strangle that woman. I said, no. She got into the procedure where they were going to have the heart catheterization. And her veins collapsed on her. And she said, I think I'm having a heart attack. And the doctor said, dear, we don't only think you're having a heart attack, we know you're having a heart attack. He said, just let us do what we're trained to do. Now, I didn't tell you that 2 hours before that, Jen was supposed to wait till 10:30 or 11 o'clock. But the doctor, the head of that department, had a cancellation. So they brought her in instead. So they went up one side of her heart, and the veins collapsed on her, and she started having a heart attack. And as the nurse said, the only guy that could have done this was that doctor who was supposed to be doing the other procedure. He went in on the other side and expanded those veins. God didn't hold back His promise because she had lost her temper with that young woman earlier. God's good for His Word. And we could see that. And what did Dale tell us? He's already blessed me so much, I can't believe it. He blew out the L4. Something like that, wasn't it? If he blew it out the back, he was able to get up and get back on his four-wheeler and get back up for help. If he blows out the front, he would have been laying there still, paralyzed. What? Okay. The front, back. But do you see what I'm trying to get at? God's promises are all throughout His Word. His promises are there for you and I. He wants to be an intricate part of our lives. And you know what? He is. He is. The very fact that you and I can depend on Him, we can take our smallest problems to Him, that's a blessing. Yea, when all His hail and His mighty storm shall beat upon you, it shall have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because the rock upon which ye are built, which is a sure foundation, a foundation whereon, if men build, they cannot fail. These two young men were thrown in prison. And the prison walls shook. And the people were so affrighted because they knew they had made God mad by putting Nephi and Lehi into the prison. Why? Because Lehi and Nephi were built on the firm foundation. The firm foundation that was the whole Word of God. That's what I'm trying to get across to us. Is the fact that the Book of Mormon is nothing but the Word of God. And we can prove it. We can honestly prove it. There's no reason for us to apologize for the Word of God. And then the important part, and they did remember His words, God's words. And therefore they went forth, keeping the commandments of God, to teach the Word of God among all the people of Nephi, beginning at the city Bountiful, and from thence forth to the city of Gid. And in other words, they taught all over the Word of God. Why? Why do you think they went forth teaching the commandments and keeping the commandments of God? Because they had built on a strong foundation. That's what we need to be doing. When I stand before Christ and I'm judged at that last time, will I be judged by how many people that I've been involved with for the church? No. I'll be judged on the merits of my life. Just like you. I will be judged as a servant. Just like you. How do you turn this on? Yeah. That's what we read a while ago. Just turned off. Am I doing something wrong?
No.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Now, I'm turning it off for a reason, because I don't want anything to detract from the point that I want to make to you now. Because though I like to kid around, as you can see, though you know that I like to joke, you know I like to catch you so I can emphasize things. There's something that's very, very important. And we talked to Dale about it last night, and I shared it with him because I think it's the crux of this whole sermon. In the Gospels, 3 out of the 4 Gospels tell of a time when an individual once was a lawyer, once was a eunuch, they came to Christ. One of them said, "Good Master, what is the greatest commandment?" And what did Christ say? He said, What is the greatest commandment? The single one greatest commandment. In three out of the four Gospels, Christ said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, to love your neighbor. Notice Christ did not stop. He didn't just give him one commandment. He said, and the second is like unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And he said something that I think is so important. And I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'd really like for you all, when you go home, to look it up. To look this scripture up. Look for the greatest commandment. Christ said after the second, and upon these two, all the law and the prophets hang. Think about that. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments hang all the law and the testament. I think that's important for these reasons. Christ didn't tell them just one commandment. He told them two commandments. You see, if we perform those two commandments in themselves, we will never sin in the Word of God. And that's why Christ would say, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In my life, I have been very vocal about teaching about the church because I think the church is important. I really do. But I think the church is a mechanism that should take us to the teachings of Christ to glorify our Father. And I think in doing so, the scriptures we've talked about, both from the Bible and the Book of Mormon, have taught us that we have to glorify Christ. That we have to follow the word of Christ. Just because we belong to the church of Christ doesn't ensure us a place in heaven. It assures us a place in heaven in his kingdom, like Rhodes said a while ago. And Rhodes was right on the button when he said, if we don't obey God's word, we can't be a part of his kingdom. And that's exactly right. Now, if you would, everybody take your Bible and turn with me to that same reference we asked Rhodes to read a while ago. And I'm going to read the whole thing the way it's given. And this also is found in the Book of Mormon. Revelation 20. And I'm going to read 12 through 15. Revelation 20, 12 through 15. This is really what it's all about, folks. It's not my attendance at church, though that is important. It's not how I part my hair, because I don't have much hair left. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God in the books. Notice that? Plural. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. How do I get my name in the book of life? Through baptism. See what Justin told us earlier, faith, repentance, baptism. Those are an intricate part of the way of accomplishing God's will. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. The very thing that many people teach us are not important. We're not saved by our works, but we are judged of our works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now listen to the 15th verse. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life. How do we become written in the book of life? Baptism. Was cast into the lake of fire. Think about it. Do you love your children? You bet you do. Do you love your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters? The people driving up and down the highway out there? You bet we do. What do we want for them? We want for them God's goodness. We want for them the Word of God to embrace them warmly. Now, we've talked about the fact that the Book of Mormon replaces the plain and precious things that were taken out of the Bible. How can we offer them the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ unless we also offer them the Book of Mormon? It's up to us. It says that we will carry forth to every kindred, tongue, and nation, what? The Word of God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but that worries me. That worries me. May God bless you is my prayer. Thank you.